For zipsportsmedia.com, this is Touchline. Hello everybody, welcome to episode 11 of Touchline, this famous football podcast. This famous football podcast with myself, Sean Watson, and my co-pilot, Aaron Flanagan. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
Do you know what? I'm alright.
Good.
It's been a long week, but I'm alright. I'm glad it's Saturday. This has become a regular feature on a Saturday now, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, we'll squeeze it in when we can, but I quite like Saturday mornings, mate. It's quite a nice time, man.
It's becoming sort of a preview to the weekend, this show.
Yeah.
A bit of a review of the week and a preview to the weekend. I know you've got non-league football to get to this afternoon, so this is sort of a warm-up for you. This is supplement, if you can say that.
I quite like that, starting my weekend with a nice football discussion. You know, yeah. Just as start as you mean to go on.
Absolutely. Quite a week in the world of football, particularly European football. There is only one place we can start this week. It's pretty unanimous what we're going to start with. You've guessed it. It's Arsene Wenger and Arsenal. For me personally, Arsene Wenger's time at Arsenal, if it's not over soon, it'll be over at the end of the season. 21 years at the helm, but I think it's going to come to an end.
Yeah, it's been a weird one because I think before the 5-1 drubbing by Munich, I think a lot of the pundits and stuff that were around were trying to say, or anybody who's been involved in the game were trying to say, you know what, is he as good as they've got? You know, he probably is. They might not get much better. You know, be careful what you wish for. You know, if Wenger goes and suddenly, you know, one result and everybody has realised that. When I say realised, it might not quite be right. It is only one game that they have been hammered in. I know it's they're desperately inconsistent, but.
But is that one game all they had left in their season? I know they're still in the FA Cup.
I don't know whether it's all they had left in the season because listen, let's be honest, they're not good enough to win the Champions League and they never have been.
No.
And no matter what anyone says, you know, Arsenal season is not going to be defined by the Champions League. Not now. Maybe 10 years ago, yeah. And maybe that's a state.
But is that not the problem? Should it be defined by should they be in a position where there should be real challenges for the Champions League?
Yeah, but is that Arsene Wenger's problem or is that the problem of the board and the way the club's been ran? Because at the end of the day, all right, they have spent some money. All right, yeah, they spent nearly £30 million on Granit Xhaka and stuff. But the investment that they have made have not been at a par to say, you know, you're going to be winning Premier Leagues, you're going to be winning Champions Leagues. And I don't know whether that's down to Wenger or whether it's down to the way the clubs ran. When they were making signings, in fact, they seem to have lost an edge for me from, obviously, when they were signing players in the late 90s, early 2000s. Look at Thierry Henry, they got him for a bargain price. Yeah. Patrick Vieira, bargain price.
Yeah.
The finding these players in France, really. Arsene Wenger had quite a detailed, almost football manager-esque. scouting system. Yeah, you know, he could pick these little gems from around the world that nobody's ever heard of.
Seemed to always be France.
Yeah, well, he just had this scouting network that was just phenomenal.
Yeah,
all right, everybody else has caught up, you know, worked out his methods and stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, in the transfer market, they're not having the same influence that they used to. And I think that's the major difference.
Well, we made the point on this show, actually. Could have been the first episode, but it's certainly one of the early ones where I think it was me that said, are Arsenal and Arsene Wenger being left behind in the transfer market?
Yeah.
And it's pretty clear that they are.
Yeah, and obviously, when you look at what the rivals are spending, obviously Manchester City is spending good money to get, you know, Brazilian sensations, arguably, you know, the next big thing in world football. Obviously, he's got a lot of way to go, but, you know, he's an exciting prospect, that Gabriel Jesus.
Yeah.
Look at Manchester United.
Fortunately injured, but resurrected by Easter.
It's mad how things time
Jesus
themselves,
injured
isn't it?
Now, but resurrected by Easter. You can have that one for free.
But then obviously you look at like Manchester United spending £90 million on Paul Pogba. You look at Chelsea are spending mega money to get their targets. Even Spurs are spending, you know, decent money, you know, to try and put their team together. And you just think Arsenal are being left behind. You know, it's the model of the club, maybe not Arsene Wenger. It's the model of the club.
Yeah, it goes higher than Wenger. It does.
Yeah, and I think the problem isn't just Wenger, but at the same time, he's been very, very stubborn with his tactics. And I think he played the same system so predictably against Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
The same system that he's probably played in the last 7 years where they've been knocked out at the last 16 stage of the Champions League.
Yeah.
And you just kind of feel like he's a man devoid of ideas now. Again, I look at the quality of the squad. Yes, okay, they've got some exceptional talents in, you know, Alexis Sanchez, Mesut Ozil sometimes.
When he appears, yeah.
Laurent Koscielny is clearly, you know, a world-class defender. Hector Bellerin is clearly a world-class fullback. But the whole squad, is it world-class? No, probably not.
No.
You look at
the midfield. Coming to the end. Well, start with the goalkeeper. Cech's coming to the end. Made a few mistakes this season. Ospina, for me, is not really good enough for it. No. If you want to be challenging for championships, not really good enough. Who else we got? Gabriel.
Yeah, no, Gabriel was a poor signing when they made him. Also, Mustafi looks all right.
Yeah.
I'll give him that. You know, that's a... You can't really complain too much about it. And you've got the likes of, you know, Kieran Gibbs, Nacho Monreal.
Are they good enough fullbacks to win leagues or trophies?
And then you go into the midfield. Mohamed Elneny, Francis Coquelin, Aaron Ramsey.
Alexi Iwobi.
Yeah, no, I mean, come on. Greatest respect to them. Yeah, they're right, they're decent footballers, but they're not Premier League and Champions League winning footballers.
There's someone like you'd expect to play for West Brom or somebody like that. I mean, they're a mid-table Premier League players for me.
Yeah.
I don't think they're good enough for Arsenal.
Or maybe even slightly above that. But, you know, as I say, they're not title winning, they're not trophy winning.
No.
Maybe FA Cup winning, which, I mean, that's a whole different story about the state of the FA Cup.
Yeah.
They might be FA Cup winning, but, you know, they're not going to win the major trophies that Arsenal fans crave. And
there's somebody, for me, they should be in the second string team of a team like Arsenal. They should be in a side that plays in League Cup games.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
No disrespect to League Cup, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, the if you're going to have... It's all about squad depth. You look at Manchester United, and they have quite superbly rotated their team this season, and, you know, they will do this FA Cup weekend. You expect that they're going to play Wayne Rooney, Michael Carrick, Phil Jones, you know, all going to be back into the equation.
Yeah.
You know, they all got rested for the Europa League game. And you've got to say, yeah, all right, they're not now world class, but, you know, that's the sort of calibre that you want when you are rotating your team. Arsenal don't have that.
No.
Arsenal's kind of rotated squad is their first choice, but, you know, they're not good enough. And as I say, the problem lies beyond Wenger for me. It is the recruitment, it is the spending. But are they in need of fresh ideas? Are they, you know, something needs to change, because, you know, it must be so boring and so frustrating being an Arsenal fan. The same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah. Is it a nailed on certainty that Wenger's gone or going?
No, they're definitely not. I mean,
after his statement midweek where he said, if it's here or somewhere else, you don't normally see a manager say that.
Yeah, no, I think he's trying to, in a weird way, please some of the Arsenal fans, because obviously, I think the thing with Arsenal fans is very much a 50-50 split. Some want him to, 50 want him to stay, 50% want him to go, and I don't know whether that's changed midweek, you know, more in the go fair. I'm sure, you know, some people's opinions have been changed. But maybe he's just trying to keep people happy by suggesting, all right, okay, listen, you know, change could be, you know, about to come. What I think Arsenal need to do in the meantime is release some kind of a statement about the manager's future.
Yes or no, or just making it black and white.
While it's up in the air, I think you're just going to have unhappy people. You're going to have people arguing with each other. Look at Arsenal fan TV. It's just it's a big debate. Should he go? Should he not? I support him. I don't. This is a disgrace. Oh no, we're succeeding here. No, you know, actually, let's get it in black and white. Let's say this is what's happening with the club, and let's give Arsenal fans a little bit of direction about where their club's going.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, who's going to replace Wenger and a better job if the model of, you know, that sort of spending?
Yeah, there's been talk that this week and in weeks gone, they missed out on Klopp when he was available.
Yeah.
I can see that. I don't see Diego Simeone coming to Arsenal fitting their style and their mantra.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, I don't know whether Atletico Madrid spent mega money. I think they've, you know, they spent all right money. But I don't know whether Simeone might be the right man. It's weird. I don't know whether I can see that fit, because it's a complete change
in footballing style.
You know, it's going to be something for Arsenal fans to get used to. It might be something they see. It's quite refreshing.
Well, look, the big clubs, they do have to adapt. United have changed their style of play since Sir Alex Ferguson left.
Yeah.
United were always the... And they are getting back to sort of that a little bit with under Mourinho now, but United are always the, if you score, we'll play great football and fast-paced, and they changed that under Van Gaal, and it became very slow and monotonous, and all right, it didn't have success. But you do see clubs change the style, so maybe that could be the way forward for Arsenal, become a counter-attacking team, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think it doesn't matter what style of football you really play, providing that you start winning.
Yeah.
And I think the problem with Van Gaal and when at United, when he started playing this low football, is that, right, okay, they were winning sometimes, but they weren't winning as often as they should do.
Yeah.
And that's where the main frustration lay, I think, for United fans. You know, you have to be winning the games you're supposed to win.
That's true.
If Arsenal play, a bit more of a hard-hitting, counter-attacking game, it's not an unattractive brand of football that Diego Simeone plays either. You know, it is he's a talented manager, and Atletico Madrid are a great team to watch, so Arsenal would still be very entertaining.
People forget about style of football if you're winning leagues.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Chelsea were renowned for playing boring football, scraping by 1-0.
Yeah.
And they won the Premier League back to back under Mourinho, record points tallies.
Yeah. Do their fans care?
No.
Not at all. But you know, it's a tough one. I look at Max Allegri as a potential man to take over from Arsene Wenger. Obviously in charge of Juventus at the moment. He's currently looking set to win them their sixth Serie A title in a row. But again, he's been a man who, with his Juventus squad, when he's needed to strengthen his squad, when he's needed a player for that position or player for there, he's just gone and said, can we get the money for it? And Juventus have said yes. And they've bought the players and spent the money when they need to. Are Arsenal going to be able to do that for him? Probably not. I think a whole review of the club's needed.
I think they're a unique club in terms of probably world football, in the fact that they are actually more focused on being a business and making the profit sheets and the balance sheets look good.
Yeah.
Rather than but at the same time, maintaining enough success in inverted commas that they can sustain that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, to be honest, they've done quite well to find the balance of kind of having been so close to success, keep everybody so interested, yet we're so straight and narrow when it comes to the
stakeholders happy and the money, but we're teasing the fans by getting close to success but not quite getting them, but making enough money to sustain the stakeholders and shareholders and...
Yeah, no, they were. I mean, it's a great model. An interesting thing I heard someone suggest, a colleague of mine for the Mirror, called Hamish McKay, who he's an Arsenal fan himself, and he speaks quite passionately about Arsenal. And one of the things he suggested was, why doesn't Arsene Wenger become the director of football? And maybe it is time for. A director of football at Arsenal, because Arsene Wenger is everything about Arsenal. He does everything. You know, no man can come in and take on Arsene Wenger's workload. Maybe he steps up and becomes the director of football. Let someone else do the managing, and let Wenger keep on doing his job, his role around the club.
I can see that.
At the same time, I argue about the other way and go, you know, if something needs to change so drastically, does everything need to change?
Should it be a clean cut?
Yeah, is it just going to be the same old, just with a new man taking the slack for it? If things go wrong,
it's an interesting idea.
Yeah,
and it could be fitting of somebody who's given so much to Arsenal over the years, because he literally has transformed the club, literally. Yeah. I mean, in terms of the success he had early on, he came to the club under Everybody was calling him Arsene Who. Nobody had heard of him from Japan. Within 2 years, he'd won a league. 4 years after that, he won another league. Then the Invincible season. And all the success they had enabled Arsenal as a business to be able to create the Emirates Stadium, change grounds and transform them into... Are they a superpower?
Yeah, if you go on Google analysis, you know, like what people search for, Arsenal are the second most searched for team in the world.
Yeah.
Like, behind Manchester United, just ahead of Liverpool, ahead of Real Madrid and Barcelona. Arsenal are, in terms, one of, if not the most, you know, popular club in the world. And that was generated by Arsene Wenger.
It was.
You know, it's a tough one because it's like, if you're putting him upstairs, you have to put him in the right role. Does he just become an ambassador? Does he become a member of the board? Does he still have involvement in the football? I'd personally say his time in the football maybe is done.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's time to move on and just take a different angle and, you know, let him do, you know, just let him be and like, I know, just give him an honorary role.
If he goes... my opinion is he shouldn't be sacked. He's done too much for the club to actually warrant a sacking.
If he is sacked, I don't think he'd be announced as sacked.
No, it would just be the mutual agreement, or he's stepping down, or whatever.
I think they'd let him do it his way and say, listen, I'm calling it a day.
And if he goes, would it be right to announce it now and give him a send off towards the end of the season, or would it just be better to sort of, after the last game, say, I'm stepping down, done?
I think to improve the mood at Arsenal, I think they've got to do it before the end of the season. Because I think, maybe now, while technically they still can win the title, you don't want to say, oh, it's all changing the end of the season, because that just says, white flag's been waved.
Sure.
Give it 6 more weeks, or 6 more Premier League games. And at that point, I think Arsenal won't be able to catch Chelsea. At that point, yeah, say it. Give the end of the season a bit of importance, give it something.
Some meaning.
Yeah, exactly. And let it become a celebration.
Yeah, because a friend of mine at work said, by announcing early that Wenger's going at the end of the season, in fact, the 50% you mentioned before that want Wenger out would actually turn the other way and become appreciative of him again.
Yeah, exactly.
They'd unite the fans, which is what he's been going on about this week. I don't think it's helped by saying Arsenal fans need to be more like Spurs fans. I don't think that went down too well.
Yeah,
but I can get what he's saying. Yeah. But if they did that, it would unite the fan base, no doubt.
It definitely would. And, you know, they're probably still going to be in the FA Cup at that point. You'd expect that they're not going to stutter at Sutton United on Monday. And then if we're looking at, you know, 6 weeks or so time... they're probably still going to be in the FA Cup. They're going to have a short little run, you know, quarter-final, semi-final, final, where you can go, you know what, let's just give the FA Cup our all.
Yeah.
Everybody get behind that. And you go, you know what, that winning the FA Cup would be the perfect send-off for Wenger.
Yeah. Well, how many times has he won it? 6, 7 times?
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, ridiculous. It's the only major trophy he's won in recent years.
Yeah.
So I know it's not the one he wants, but it's still a major trophy.
It's a good send-off.
And, you know, an FA Cup final day, a victory, you know, can there possibly be a greater send-off
for
someone? And I think that's what they really should be aiming for now. And if everybody knows that it's a send-off, it'll lift everybody in. You know, lift the players, it'll lift the fans, and everybody will really want to do it for him because, let's be honest, he is a Premier League legend. He's a bona fide legend.
Without a doubt.
And he deserves the send-off.
Yeah, people hate to love Wenger.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a Marmite character, but I think deep down everybody actually really likes him.
Yeah, no, he's one of them that even I watch now, and I think, a lot of the time I feel like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You got to admire him. You got to admire his stubbornness in a way as well.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a man who knows what he wants and he'll do it how he wants. And listen, he's had success doing it. He might not be having success now, but yeah, got to admire it.
Absolutely. So from there, how long have we done? 20 minutes on Arsene Wenger.
No, okay.
That's nice. Not bad. We could have gone longer. So 20 minutes is, I think, enough.
Yeah.
So we'll move on from there. from the 5-1 drubbing of Arsenal on Wednesday night, we'll go backwards to Tuesday night. And I know you wanted to cover Barcelona's 4-0 thumping to the hands of PSG, but more than that, is it the end of an era for Barcelona?
I wouldn't say end of an era. I think the era as such, where Barcelona were, you know, this great passing team, this great dominant force, for me actually ended when Pep Guardiola left, because that's when the football wasn't quite the same. The footballers, you know, the iconic names got a little bit older. Xavi ended up leaving. Iniesta's obviously getting on a bit now. For me, Barcelona is about the front three now rather than the whole team.
Yeah,
sure. That's my own personal opinion. I think the Barcelona era has gone. It's now the MSN era.
Yeah.
I think something definitely needs to change, because Luis Enrique clearly is not a popular figure. That's in the dressing room, that's in the stands. And as a result, I don't know whether... Obviously, I mean, 4-0 is a bit surprising, but I don't think PSG winning is actually a surprise.
No, because PSG are a great team, there's no doubt about that. They're also having a poor season. PSG?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably go back top of the French league this season.
Do you think they'll win the league?
This weekend.
Monaco?
I think they'll get there. Monaco stuttered against Bastia last night.
Did you watch that game? Was that the winner of your poll?
I watched some of it. For those who don't know, I put a poll on Twitter because there was four European games on today. Well, there was five if you include the Northern Irish Premiership game on. Cheers, Sky Sports. You know, that's what I pay £100 a month for. Thanks, guys.
Who was it?
Cliftonville and Glentoran.
And you didn't pick that?
I don't even know what score it was. I'm sure it could have been a great game, but you know, when I'm watching it on TV, I want to see a spectacle, and that didn't do it for me.
No, it doesn't exactly sell, does it?
That's not really great Friday night viewing.
No.
But anyway, I put on a poll. There were four European games on, one in France, Germany, Italy, and Spain. And I just ran a little poll to see who'd win. Juventus versus Palermo won the poll, and I did watch most of that game. The point where they went 3-0 up, I thought, it is definitely dead and buried now.
Yeah.
The Paulo Dybala, by the way, I rave about him on Twitter every now and again. He is my favourite footballer in the world now. Plays for Juventus. He is absolutely phenomenal. If you haven't watched Juventus in kind of the last 18 months or so, go and watch Juventus. He wears number 21 for them. He's taken Pirlo's number, which is a big thing. But he's a little guy, plays as a striker. The only thing that annoys me about him, he's one of them who, he'll get a touch, he'll go around, he'll go rolling on the floor.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a wimp, but he's a fantastic footballer. And he's got the most succulently brilliant free kick last night. It was just like, that's why I need to send it to him. he's an incredible footballer, and... I hope he signs for Manchester City one day.
So, which year is he winning the Ballon d'Or then?
Enlighten
us.
Well, I don't know. He's only... Is he 21 or is he 22? He's still quite young, so we'll give him... I'll give him until the 2021 season.
So when he's 26, something like that.
Yeah. I'll give him a few years. And
So, folks, if you're listening, get down your bookies, your local bookies, get your bet on. Request a special. Get them to give you 300-1 odds. Put a tenner on it and thank Aaron when it comes in 2021.
Yeah, I can't wait for that tweets I'm going to receive. Will Twitter even still be a thing then? I'm sure.
Do you know what? I'd be surprised if it wasn't, because it's.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go off on that tangent, but yeah, it'll still be around, and you'll still be around.
Oh, God, I hope so.
You'll be seasoned head of football for the Mirror.
I'm
chief football writer.
If the role's going, I'll take it.
And let's be honest, the real reason Cliftonville against Glentoran or whoever it was didn't get on your poll was you can only get 4 in a poll on Twitter.
Yeah, precisely.
That's the only reason you'd have watched it.
I'll be honest, when I was putting the poll together, I was contemplating, do I take off Granada versus Real Betis? Because let's be honest, nobody wanted to watch that.
No, not even you wanted to watch that.
Yeah, although there was an upset there.
Was there?
An upset. Granada are really struggling at the bottom of La Liga. They were 3-0 up in half an hour. I still didn't watch it. Anyway, going back to the year, I ended up watching second half of the...
You didn't watch Granada? You watched BBC instead?
Yeah, hey! No, I watched most of the second half of the Monaco game. And God, we've gone off a real big tangent here.
What were we even talking about? European football, I don't know. I hope Monaco beat City next week. That's what I would say.
Yeah, no, I can't see that. Although they'll have a point to prove, because it was one of them. The Monaco game against Bastia, they battered them. They pummeled them for the last 25 minutes, trying to get this winner. It was 1-1. They came from behind, scored, started the second half to level the game. And then they just, as I say, pummeled them. And one of them, where it's like everything they hit just wouldn't go in. I had money on the game. Cheers, Monaco, for ruining my accumulator. The only team who let me down. I'm like thumping my desk in work, all these chances, clear cut.
There's only one team that ever lets you down, and it always is one.
Yeah, but they really were clear cut chances. On another day, I'm 100 quid richer.
At least you saw a good game.
It was proper entertaining, it really was. I wouldn't normally get that lively about, a Friday night game at Bastia.
Yeah.
But
that's what money does.
But no, what were we even talking about? I can't remember what we... It was PSG.
PSG, Barcelona, wasn't it?
Anyway, yeah. PSG...
there's an edit in there somewhere.
PSG... maybe it was a bit of a surprise because they're not having the greatest of seasons in France. I still think they're going to win it. That's how we got onto Monaco and beyond.
And Glenn Torin.
So we're going to talk about Barcelona versus PSG, but we're going to talk about Glenn Torin within the next 30 seconds.
Within a breath, it's amazing.
That was impressive.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't so unexpected. That's the weird thing. Unfortunately, I had to watch Benfica versus Dortmund because of work. And I just remember just seeing Twitter keep popping up, just thinking, how am I not watching this other game? It's just unbelievable. I saw it interesting. I need to combine our first two subjects together. Barcelona are obviously going to be looking for replacements for Luis Enrique. It looks all the signs that he's leaving at the end of the season.
Out of contract, is he?
Yeah.
You get Wenger in.
Well, that's the point. Arsene Wenger's on their shortlist, apparently. One of the names that they're that they're considering.
Then the Arsenal can have Enrique, then.
It'd be a bizarre swap. Again, two managers struggling, swap teams. They'll probably both continue to struggle.
Yeah.
But there's something for it. But
just on Wenger, by the way, just to finish off on Wenger, we'll come back to it. I saw a really, really funny tweet that said, "Can't you see Arsene Wenger? He's definitely got an African Cup of Nations semi-final penalty shootout defeat still in him at the end of his career, to managing somebody like Nigeria or somebody. You can see that."
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, I had to throw that in, but
that's very good.
Enrique for Wenger. Could you see it? I could see Enrique at Arsenal. Really, really good.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I'd hate to call it... I don't know whether it's the right way to describe it, but it's a bit of a lazy appointment. It's just kind of, he's managed Barcelona, he'll be great, he'll come in. It's the sort of appointment I'd exactly expect Arsenal to make.
Yeah, it's true. Unless they went for somebody like Eddie Howe, who's the other name been?
No, that's ambitious. That's a bold statement, and I don't know whether they...
Are they in a position to do that?
Maybe not right now.
No.
I think, this is obviously, we've talked about the brand that Arsenal is. I don't know whether they have to consider continuing the brand by, having the biggest names. That's what ideally they'd want.
Are they in a position where they need short-term success, Arsenal? Long-term business...
What do we define as short term? As in
a league title within three seasons.
I think they are.
Me too.
Yeah. What I would say is that maybe they would learn from Manchester United's mistake when they went for the gamble appointment of David Moyes.
Yeah,
of course, you know, one of the best managers in the Premier League. For a lower team.
Best of the rest, wasn't he?
Yeah. And obviously, it was just an absolute failure. I think the only difference with that is that United obviously were champions. They were the best team in the country. They were playing great football.
It was a free hit, wasn't it? It was a bit of a free
hit. It was one of them. It was whoever was going to take over physically could not improve United.
Yeah.
So they were only going to get worse.
Yeah.
And so maybe Moyes did get thrown under the bus a little bit.
And they weren't.
I mean, they were a lot worse than they should have been under Moyes.
But like you say, United were in a position where they'd won X amount of league titles in X amount of years.
Yeah.
They were in a position where this is an impartial show. United have had a period of unsuccess now since Ferguson left, but we're still living on the highs of the Ferguson era. It's only been 4 years.
Yeah.
Arsenal have not won a league for 13 years now.
Yeah.
They need short-term success.
Arsenal, to be fair, when I say United, could only get worse. Arsenal, a manager, it can go one or two ways. It can either be a great success or they can get even worse. And I really do fear that they're teetering on the border of getting worse.
And dropping, losing real ground on the likes of Liverpool, Spurs, City.
Yeah, that's why I think the next managerial appointment is so important. And also what they do in the summer. The investment, I know we keep coming back to it, the investment has to be better.
Yeah.
Has to, really, really has to be better from them.
I think the word to describe Arsenal, I always thought, particularly Wenger, is naive.
Yeah.
Recently, just naive in terms of actually setting up a team on the field, like we saw midweek in Munich, and in the transfer market.
Yeah, I fear they've got a bit complacent as a club as well.
Yeah.
They realise where they are, we've got to where we are, and they're not putting in the hard graft to try and improve it.
Yeah.
And that comes from, top to bottom.
Interesting, I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but I feel like we've gone off Barcelona now, back to Wenger, back to business. I think, I don't know if this is true or not, because it can be twisted, this, but apparently only one Arsenal player went and found the travelling fans in Munich, and that was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, but that's what I saw.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is a great example of somebody who's clearly hurting at the moment.
Well, he was the one who was having the strop on the pitch.
Yeah, I saw the videos of him up and down, and he's a man who's in and out of the team, and he's clearly frustrated by that. He said that in interviews. He was on Goals on Sunday a few months ago with his father, talking about Arsenal and his desires of and even admitted if I have to play football somewhere else I will.
Yeah.
And he's clearly just a man who wants success, and you can see the frustration coming through. Don't stop me on this. Thanking players and in football these days, I'm actually halfway through writing a column where I don't know where it'll be published. Whether it'll be for the Mirror, whether it'll be for just doing a Curzon Ashton programme, or maybe one of the non-league websites, but a piece about how players show appreciation in football. We're at a stage where a mere couple of claps from 60 yards away is, oh, he loves us. It's appreciation.
In terms of players to fans?
Yeah, players and fans. Like, what is what is appreciation in football these days? And, as I said, while obviously you want the players to clap in the supporters, I think footballers can do a hell of a lot more.
Sure, but at least he did that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. At least he was the one who, allegedly the one. Obviously, I've not seen the claps at the end of the game.
There's a lad I work with that took 3 days off work, travelled to Munich, paid flights, accommodation, tickets. See his team get absolutely pumped 5-1. And if I were him, I'd be gutted about that. But more so than that, the fact that the team walked off without even acknowledging.
Yeah.
When you think about that, that is dedication to the club, and it's not even being acknowledged at all.
Yeah.
You feel a bit miffed at that.
Yeah. No, it's almost the celebrity culture that's come into football.
Yeah.
In the fact that we're the footballers, you're the fans, there is a big divide.
Yeah.
And there really is a big divide there now between what happens on the pitch and what happens off it. Whereas if you go back to, say, the 70s, I use George Best as an example, look at some of his great antics after game and stuff. He's in the bar, he's having a glass of champagne and a beer, or a glass of wine, whatever, with all the supporters.
Yeah.
Occasionally, almost on, lying on his back, having alcohol poured down his neck.
Yeah.
By supporters, and it's there, where players, I know the culture's changed completely. You know, proper appreciation shown, you know, in moments like that, you know, where, you know, there can be some kind of interaction. There's no interaction between.
No, I think players almost think, well, you should be coming supporting us. You should be paying your hard-earned money. You should be taking time off work.
Yeah, no, I think the players just expect them to be there.
Yeah.
And that's because they know that the fans are still paying the money, which is paying their ridiculous wages.
Yeah.
But, no, disappointing that, you know, Arsenal fans will feel let down by. I know a lot of them are saying they feel let down by Wenger. They have to be let down by the team as well.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. You know, we've kept on saying the problem at Arsenal is far beyond Wenger. The whole club needs a big change.
Yep. Full stop. We will actually
full stop.
Put a full stop there. That's 35 minutes on and off on Wenger at Arsenal. probably a new record. But yeah, we'll move on from there. You said about big money. Another chap's accepted some big money this week. And it's not the man you expected. It's Mark Clattenburg off to Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia.
In a big money... He issued a come-and-get-me plea, which we joked about on this programme about a month ago. And somebody has come and got him, and it's the Saudi Arabian League. And he announced a press conference. He held a press conference midweek, and off he's gone. Saudi Arabia.
It's the most celebrity refs thing ever, isn't it? Having his own press conference for an unveil. It's great,
it's
isn't
fantastic.
It?
Fantastic. They made it. Referees have made it.
Yeah.
What do you make of it?
All I'll say is I don't blame him.
No.
I really can't blame him. I saw a few tweets on social media saying, oh, man's got no ambition or anything like that. I was like, what's that? Ambition? He's manly.
It's the opposite, isn't it?
Yeah, he's refereed all of the top games in Europe. The World Cup final on the worldwide stage is pretty much the only one he's not done.
Yeah. Is he going to free him for his arm for the World Cup final?
Yeah,
on his arm.
It'll be big back tattoo, wouldn't it?
It would just literally the trophy.
Yeah. But no, he's... Listen, I put on Twitter this week, you've got to remember what the wage that Premier League referees earn. In a year, he earns 100 grand. Now, listen, I would love to earn 100 grand a year.
Yeah.
But when you compare it to the game and the world that he's living in,
yeah,
it's nothing.
For no, but somebody on that pitch has earned three that, times him.
Yeah, in a week.
He earns in a year, in a game.
He's, you know, he's been offered basically the chance. If you're a normal person and someone says, right, okay, you're doing great at your job, but I want you to come and do this job where, all right, it's a slightly different role. You're going to be in charge now. All right, no, he's not just in charge of the pitch, he's in charge of the whole of the referees of the country.
Yeah.
And we'll give you 10 times more money a year. 10 times more money a year.
It's a literal no-brainer.
Who in the world turns that down?
Yeah.
He's also still going to be refereeing some games over there, as far as I'm aware. Which means that he will still potentially be eligible for the World Cup in 2018.
Okay.
So if he gets there, he might still be able to tick off the, you know, the 2018 World Cup.
Yeah.
He's, you know, he's a man who, for me, has excelled in his profession. Is still the best referee in the world, in my personal opinion. I know there'll be people ready to, you know, fume at that comment, but you know, for me, he is the best in the world. And
all it does is actually set up his huge comeback in 2-3 years' time when he does return to the Premier League. The fanfare, you can imagine it now, can't you? You can see it now.
To be fair, I think a lot has been wrong with refereeing over the past year. I think we've actually taken a little backward step. I think we were making great strides with refereeing decisions and stuff, and I think referees have got maybe a little lazy.
Yeah,
And they haven't had a great season. But you know, so I don't think that there would be, they don't want this big fanfare, this big attention. They don't want the attention on the referees. It's bad enough that we kind of do know who these referees are by name.
Yeah, because ideally we always say if the referee goes unnoticed in a game, he's had a good game.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'd say Neil Swarbrick has been one of the best referees in the Premier League this season.
Did he do Bournemouth City on Monday?
He did. Who can name a Neil Swarbrick mistake?
That's
this
true,
season?
Yeah. That's absolutely true, yeah.
Listen, you wouldn't even know that he's refereed half of your games. And there's a few referees like that who you can point your finger at.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mike Dean and Clattenburg, while for me they are great referees and I've had many great games, I think people just look at them for the way they flash a card and stuff.
Is Mike
not their actual decisions.
Yeah, is Mike Dean living up to the parody that people have made of him on social media? I think he's become a bit of a box office smash.
Yeah,
I love Mike Dean personally. I really enjoy him. But
Twitter has ruined him because he's always done it. It's not something like new. It's just his personality on the pitch, and I don't mind the fact that a referee, you know, has a little bit of personality on the pitch, because he looks like he's enjoying himself. You know, he'll smile and he'll laugh with people.
Yeah.
You know, you don't always see that. You know, the little bits which are clipped out are normally him just going, you know, rah, waving his arms in the air, you know, or
having a puppet come off, or
yeah,
played advantage and they lost the ball. And he's
or the one where he goes in, he's giving it, and then he goes in, yes, it's gone in, he's gone in, great advantage.
Spurs, that wasn't it?
Yeah, Spurs Villa. Oh man.
Oh, the one where he stood on the penalty spot and gave a penalty, just crouched down and pointed to the spot that he was on.
We used to call it before celebrity refs on Twitter was a thing. Me and my friend Joe Lawton, who obviously you know, he's also a referee. We used to joke about it because I'd regularly referee a match, you know, and Joe would be my assistant, or it might be vice versa. We always used to joke about giving a Mike Dean power penalty. yeah,
like
crouch knees, point and stare,
yeah.
And you used to kind of hold that pose for, I don't know, 5 seconds,
yeah,
and you're getting loads of abuse, but you can't move.
And semi-squat position.
Yeah, and I did it in one game, and it was just Mike Dean inspired, and I felt like such an idiot. But it was only in a friendly match, and I just went, you know what, I'm gonna do it. I've got to tick it off. Bang,
there it
game
is.
One.
the other one of Mike Dean was with the welcome to the Premier League full time whistle in the Championship playoff final, the big fanfare whistle at the end. I love Mike Dean. You can't knock him.
Yeah, no. But listen, the reason people Mike Dean is getting the attention isn't because of his decision making, and that's the good thing about it.
Yeah.
I'd actually say since celebrity, I think it's boomed over the past 2 months. You know, loads of people have got on board with it. I don't think there has been a celebrity ref Mike Dean endorsement on Twitter for, you know, for a few weeks now. He's clearly toned it down a little. He's obviously had a little one and said, listen, Mike, we need to stop.
As much as we enjoy you.
We need to stop being the centre of attention here. Decision-making wise, you know, in the main, you know, the great, yeah, all right, there's a few mistakes. Look at the... Was it Fagouli got sent off against United?
West Ham United, yeah.
Yeah, that was a mistake. But, you know, everybody makes little mistakes.
And do you know what? He's not afraid to make a decision.
No Premier League referee is afraid of making a decision.
No. Or making a mistake at the same time. If he thinks something's right at the time, he will just give it. And
yeah.
That's all you can say.
Yeah, and listen, I had a good debate with a Chelsea fan on Twitter. I think it was it yesterday or the day before? But either way, I was a Chelsea fan who... We disagreed completely, but we had a nice amicable discussion. And I know the chap followed me on Twitter afterwards, so if he sees this and now he's listening, then thanks for the day. I actually really enjoyed it. It was about refereeing and how English referees compare, you know, to the rest of the world. For me, English referees are the best in the world. You just have to watch... This is me from watching European football last night. Watching that Monaco game, the refereeing wasn't great. You watch Spanish games quite regularly. So often they go out of hand. The refereeing, again, is not great. German football, I was watching a German second division game not too long ago. And all right, okay, second division is not low top level, but I'm going, God, the standard of the refereeing is so poor.
Yeah.
And that's across the top leagues in the world. You've got to take for granted what we have in the Premier League.
And is that standard sort of why we pick up on the mistakes that bit more?
Yeah, possibly, because we expect perfection.
Exactly. We're used to such impossibly high standards.
Yeah, we're at a point in the game anyway where the football is nearing perfection, because that's the, you know, the amount of money that's been pumped into it. We've got goal line technology now, so you're going to get the perfect decision. So you're expecting perfection everywhere on the pitch. And football can't quite ever be perfect.
No.
You know, it'd be wrong for it ever to be that.
And we enjoy it when it isn't perfect, because it gives us a podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
To talk about.
Exactly. And, all right, okay, yes, as I say, the referees haven't had their best season. In fact, I'd go as far as saying they're having the worst season in 5 years, the referees now.
Right.
But I still think if you compare what our referees are doing to those across the rest of Europe, you know, it's incomparable.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the best referees in the world. And it just shows by the fact that Howard Webb got given World Cup finals, European finals. Mark Clattenburg's been given European Championship, Champions League finals, FA Cup finals. And I'm without a doubt that Michael Oliver will be the next one to go and do that, or Anthony Taylor, you know, the relative new ones on the FIFA listings.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, you know, there's some cracking young referees coming through in the Championship now.
Yeah.
Who have just been made full time. We've got to remember we're the only country in the world that has full-time officials in our second tier.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to develop, and it's only the first season that's happened, but we're trying to develop officials, we're trying to work with them. We now have specialist linesmen, where they never used to be specialists.
It's just the lower league referees that were bumped up to.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that, to be honest, maybe more should be made a deal of about how, refereeing standards are being improved and how they're working on them, because people are just thinking, oh, referees they're just making a wrong decision. And then people go, oh, no, an ex-footballer should do. In fact, maybe not, because, you listen to pundits, they don't know the laws.
No.
They don't know the laws of the game.
No.
All right, they can work on it. There is something to be said for some referees who haven't played the game might not understand, when a player will back in, when there's some natural contact or something. You can understand that. But
everybody has, in my opinion, you've played the game.
Yeah.
You ought to have played it at a level, but you've played the game.
Yeah.
You know what it's about.
Yeah, yeah.
Every referee must have an interest in football to want to become a football referee. That's the bottom line. So they must have played it as a kid, as a teenager, whatever it is. So they will have knowledge of actually playing the game.
Yeah, no, I absolutely. And going back to Clattenburg, he's... in England, we have created the best referees in the world pretty much consistently for 10 years now.
Yeah.
That's going to keep on happening. We've got a great infrastructure for referees, and we're going to keep on creating, these top officials. They're, and so much to the level where these countries from abroad, these countries with all the money, want to come and poach our officials. And I think it's actually a great endorsement for, English refereeing. Great endorsement for Mark Clattenburg as a man and as an official. They want to take him.
Absolutely.
And listen, Mark Clattenburg won't be missed.
There's plenty of others that can fill his shoes.
Yeah, exactly. There'll just be someone else. Someone else will get promoted from the second tier into the top tier. I personally hope it's Chris Cavanna. Little shout out for Cav, who's a nice guy and local to the area where we are here in East Manchester. He's been given a few big FA Cup appointments and stuff. Did the Derby, Nottingham Forest Derby clash.
Yeah.
Earlier this season, so I think he's on his way there. He's a lovely chap, and I really hope he's the next one to
make the step
to make £1 million in Saudi Arabia.
you never know.
No, I didn't mean to kind of go off so much then on kind of such defence of English referees.
Yeah,
but I think it's important. I think it's important to be said, because I don't think many people are saying it about how good our officials are compared to the rest of the world.
I agree. You posted an interesting story on Twitter about one of your refereeing experiences.
Oh, yeah.
In retaliation to the Clattenburg news. Do you want to just share
it? Yeah, well, obviously, Clattenburg's had loads of money thrown at him. I also, as a referee, had loads of money thrown at me. It's just a shame that it was coins.
Yeah.
And it was my match fee.
And
they were thrown one by one at my face. No, there was a game, I won't mention the team, the gentleman in question got banned for life, obviously, thankfully.
Yeah.
There was a game which wasn't particularly pleasant, and I was warned beforehand, you need to be shown, it's going to be a tough game. Fine. Three red cards, all for one team. And they lost the plot. They were 4-0 down and lost the plot, as lower league, teams that, don't have much discipline.
Yeah.
They were 4-0 down. I had three men sent off. One for a bad tackle, two for violent conduct. And I sent the manager off as well. unfortunately, at that level of football, it's the manager who has to pay you. And they were the home team, so it was him who had to pay me. And I had to get him to sign the match sheets afterwards.
So you got your match fee thrown at you. Did you go and pick it up?
Yeah, of course. but then... what they strategically did as well. I've even missed out the fact that I got headbutted by this manager as well. this manager after the game, as I'm walking in, he kind of confronts me, and says, "You're a disgrace, referee, you're a disgrace." And I'm just, shrugging and saying this. I'll explain my decision.
At least he didn't swear at you.
Maybe I'm being a bit...
For the purposes of this show, he didn't swear at you.
Maybe I'm being a bit radio friendly.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to explain every decision, because they don't listen. There's no point doing that.
No.
But I'm trying to have a reasonably amicable conversation with him. In my own experience, I maybe realised that I maybe said too much, you know, trying to be too nice. Maybe I should have just got in my changing room, because it just got him angrier and angrier and angrier, and he ended up headbutting me. I then go back into my changing room. He opens the door kind of 10 minutes later and says, "Here's your match fee." He's obviously got it all changed into coins, literally starts launching these coins into the changing room towards me. By the time I get changed, you know, get out, I've recovered all of the pound coins. I walk out of the changing room and the gate to get out is closed.
Yeah.
I think, great, alright, so how am I going to get out? Oh, I have to go through the clubhouse, so I have to go right through. Obviously, it's one of them clubhouses where you go right through the middle, there's tables each side. Obviously, each side are all of their teams. And obviously, I end up getting chased out of the ground as well. They went, "Here he is, go and get him." And yeah, obviously, the manager got banned for life. There was other bans, you know, dished out. I have since seen that manager on two occasions. One of them was in Warrington Town Centre about a year after the incident. Just one of them, I was in there doing some shopping. He was clearly there doing some shopping as well. And you know, when you see each other in the distance, you make eye contact.
Did he acknowledge each other?
He definitely knew it was me. We didn't say anything, we walked past each other. But that was a death stare I will never, ever forget.
From him?
From him. It was just, I feared for my safety again. It was incredible. Then
he didn't have any change in him. That was the thing. Yeah, he only exactly, had notes. So exactly. You're all right.
Yeah, and then the other time he was actually on the sidelines for a junior football game, and actually I gained a little bit more respect for him at this point, because it was just a Sunday morning. I went, you know, helping out the junior league. I said, well, I'll referee this under 14s game, and his son was playing. I didn't think it would be there, because it was the same team, but the junior aspect.
Yeah.
And I turned up, not expecting, you know, him to be there. You know, I thought, you know, it's banned for football. Turns out his son was playing. I get there on the sidelines, and the manager of that team, the under-14s team, said, "Listen, I've spoke to, I won't say his name, the gentleman back there.
Yeah.
He knows who you are. He remembers, you know, the incident. He's going to stay on the sidelines, okay? But he's agreed that if he believes, you know, he's going to start saying something, we will get rid of him." And to be fair, he stayed the whole game.
For a kids' match?
Yeah, it didn't say a peep.
Why would he say something for a kids' match? I mean, that's just poor in itself,
because of an incident with me.
Right.
He's been banned from football for life, any involvement. And he's a man who was involved in football for 20, 30 years.
Right.
So he basically, because of an incident with me, he's had his life taken away from him. Oh, it was his own actions. It wasn't me. It was his own actions that caused it.
Yeah.
But he, you know, fair play. He stayed for I think they played 35 minute halves. Under 14s. He stayed the match and didn't say a peep and got off. We didn't acknowledge. We didn't shake hands or anything. But I at least appreciate the fact that, you know, a couple of years on, he realised, you know, to keep quiet and stuff. But
yeah.
There's a little tale of refereeing and why you should definitely get involved in grassroots refereeing. It's not all like that, by the way. Refereeing is one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done. I absolutely loved it. Apart from, you know, there were a few scary incidents, but, you know, listen, sure. There's the character building.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you've said that to round that story off, because I didn't want to end on a sour note on a tale of Aaron being assaulted with heavy coins. But yeah. No, it's a one-off incident, but it's something worth remembering.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
You know, it's a tale to tell on a show like this, so
yeah,
it's character building.
Yeah, it would be interesting, because I don't know whether, I remember after the incident, I don't know whether I ever told my dad or my mum or my dad or anything, like the full extent of it, because I was so, like, petrified, you know, about like what happened. I was a bit like, God, no, people are not going to want me to referee again, so I don't think I've ever quite told the full story. So
you have now.
So yeah, so
my little bit like life stories. Isn't yeah. It? I feel a bit like Jeremy Kyle.
So my little brother is just kind of getting going in refereeing now. My mum's never going to want him to go into open age refereeing, is he?
Do you feel better? Do you feel like you've got it off your chest?
Yeah, no, it's a great story to tell, because it just shows how you can how refereeing can be.
And you love to tell the tale.
And I tell you what, I took the next week off. The league game said, right, we're taking you off your fixture the week afterwards. I went, yeah, please, I'm not in the mindset to referee. gone to that side, I was so bored. I really wanted just to be back out on the pitch.
So you got over it pretty quickly then?
Yeah, no, I literally, after a week off, I was realising I'm bored and I need to go and referee again.
Yeah.
And was back out the next week and sent off another three. No, I didn't. I didn't send off another.
Chased out the ground again. Keep you fit. No, I'm glad you finished on a high note because it had been a bit of a sore note to finish on, but a great story. You'd love to tell the tale and hopefully that entertained the listeners because I was entertained by it.
Oh, I hope so.
And gave you a chance to go into a bit more detail than you could on Twitter. So,
yeah.
Aaron, thank you very much for joining us.
No, my pleasure.
Turned into a bit of an Arsene Wenger special, which we threatened at the start of the show, and it has.
Yeah.
We didn't get onto a couple of things that we planned out, but that sort of does happen on this show. We map out a rough sketch of what we want to happen and just go with it.
Yeah.
I've had a couple of people in work actually say that they've downloaded all 10 episodes of the show.
Ooh.
And listened to them.
Oh, good.
Own back.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so they'll be listening to this one.
Good.
It was greatly appreciated. And every listen and every 5-star rating you give us or every share, whatever it is, however you can help us out, it is always greatly appreciated. It never goes unrecognised. So thank you very much for doing that. On iTunes, if you can, just nip on there. Quick 30-second job, just click 5 stars. It just helps bump us up the ratings. We broke the top 50 on the Podomatic sports ratings a couple of weeks ago. We'd love to do that again. Top 40 this time. Boxing News are number one. I think they've got close to a million listeners a week or an episode, whichever that is. So we're not far off.
Yeah, but we're getting there.
We'll give it. You know, you keep plodding. That's what we're striving for. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed listening to the show. I thoroughly enjoyed taking part and letting Aaron run with it, really, as I do a lot of the time.
Yeah,
he speaks a lot of sense.
I don't know, I'll just ramble.
I just give him the floor and he just runs with it. So, no, Aaron, always a good...